that, we've got company.
Hello.
Trust me, Hera, I'm excited. This is my excited face.
No, oh, this makes me so happy.
I like you. You don't fit in around here either.
All right, if I tag along?
More the merrier.
Get ready to be impressed.
You ready to be impressed, Tam?
I'm completely ready.
Bright suns, everyone. You're listening to The Geeky Bubble. I'm your host, Jonah, and with me is the shrieking rampart to my broken rappel line, my mom, Maria.
Oh, that was so funny.
It was hilarious.
Hello. Today, we're going to discuss the season 3 episodes Into the Breach and Flash Strike.
Yes, that's right. We didn't record last time because last time I went to this work-related conference, and then I also had to work on a Saturday for an event, and I was exhausted. I texted Mommy, and I said, we're not podcasting this weekend. I was so tired. But we're back to talk about the anti-penultimate and the penultimate episodes. I just like saying those words. They make me sound fancy.
Okay.
So what were your overall thoughts, Mommy, about these two episodes?
So freaking stressed.
Yeah.
I was like, the first one had me, my hands all digging into the arms of the chair. Because like, oh my God, they're going to get caught.
Yeah. I was on the edge of my seat with that one. And I was actually watching it on my way to the conference.
Then the next one, I love Omega. This girl is my hero.
Yeah, right? She's amazing.
She's my hero. Like, come on.
So speaking of Omega, you know, we have her being her clever self. In these two episodes, she steals an examination tool from Emery's tray, and she's also explored the inner workings of the vault. And she's also really confident about getting herself and the kids out of there. And I like that she said that she likes a challenge.
Yeah.
I accept that challenge.
Yeah.
So do you think she's being overconfident, or is she the right amount of confident?
I think that she is fed up enough.
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like enough. Like, I'm done with all this. This is it.
Yeah.
No more. And when you are like that, you go for it. Like, you find a way, you find a solution, you find a path, and you go for it because you're done.
Yeah, she's had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also like that, at least from what I got while watching these two episodes, I like that she's sort of like the embodiment of hope. For some people, Star Wars is about hope. But to me, I'm sorry, but so many tragic things happen in Star Wars over and over again that it's hard for me to see that or feel that sometimes. I think the last time I might have felt optimistic or hopeful about something within Star Wars was Rebels or Resistance, maybe Rise of Skywalker. But Omega, in the way that she acts and thinks, she really captures that everything is going to be okay kind of feeling. And I really I really like that about her character.
Yeah. Yeah. She has that oomph.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. She reminds me a lot of the kids today. Not kids. I mean, they're not kids. But young adults today who are very much outspoken.
Yeah. They have
matters into their own hands.
They have everything stacked up against them because their parents and grandparents left them a world not in the best of places.
No.
So their future is grim, but still, they go for it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, they do.
They find a way of doing whatever it is that they need to do.
So true. Very true. So another cool thing that happens is Echo, he returns like a breath of fresh air. I was like, oh, it's Echo, yay. Because he hasn't been around. He's been with Rex doing stuff. And I like that he's with the Bad Batch again, you know, saving Omega. Because I don't think he was involved, at least not towards the very end when Omega comes back after.
No, I think he was, you know, he helped here and there and he brought intel here and there. But most of the time, I think he was with Rex.
Yeah, and yeah. Doing he what, wasn't as yeah. involved. Yeah. And so I like that he is part of it now. And I love how much faith and confidence they all had in Echo. Like when he went into that ship on his own and Crosshair's like, don't worry about it. Echo's on it.
Yeah.
And Hunter's like, Echo's got this.
Yeah.
I loved how confident they were in him getting it done.
And not just Echo, but on themselves. Like, they did not waver.
No.
It was like, and again, it is that feeling of, this is it. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
This is going to resolve one way or another. Enough.
Yeah. Especially you heard it when Rampart said that they should back out, they need to withdraw, and Hunter said negative. I loved it.
Sorry.
That's not going to happen. Mm-mm. This is our only chance to get it.
So
right.
So they're going with this. It's like they took Felix Felices.
Oh, from Harry Potter. Yeah.
And they're going in with this. Whatever comes my way, I'm going to be able to deal with it
when it comes. Yeah. You know, I like that with Echo, they knew that he would get the job done. But at the same time, I can't help but have a bad feeling about all of this, you know, because he left his armor behind in order to blend in. So he visually looks a lot like Fives when Fives had his arc towards the end of the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like he's so determined to get these clones out of Tantiss. And now, you know, these children that he is now aware of at all costs, that I think it might cost his life in the process.
Well, one thing that I noticed, because I like to watch the episodes twice.
Yes.
So the first time I did not notice Rampart screaming. The second time I was laughing all by myself because it was so funny.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed the second time was the conversation between Rampart and
Crosshair. Yeah, it's a good one.
Where Rampart says, "Are you?" You know, like sort of like questions whether the way that Crosshair thinks about and who he's loyal to and why he is not really like there.
Right. Yeah. He goes, sure you have. Yeah.
That puts something in my chest sort of like, because he is very, I wouldn't say close, but he's very keen to Echo.
You mean Crosshair?
Crosshair.
Yeah.
So, I get the feeling that it may be, you know how you sometimes had said in the past that it's Crosshair who's going to end up
dying? Yeah.
I got the feeling like maybe this is how he proves that he's back, that he is loyal to them and to his brothers, because Echo's going to be in trouble.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. So now I'm like, either it's Echo or Crosshair.
Interesting.
And like, I get this feeling like, oh my God, I don't know, something is going
to
happen.
I know a lot of people are like, so does anyone have to die? Why can't we just get through a series? I don't want people to die. It's not a desire I have. But I think narratively speaking, the way that things are going, the Empire is this thing that they have to fight against on Tantiss. And it's just like, how are they going to escape that unscathed? They can't. Someone has to fall.
It's a Star Wars thing. It always is there. Somebody always dies. Something always.
I think at this point we should just accept it, right?
Yes. Now, to me, to be honest, I think that already happened with Tech.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
I'm done. This is it. I'm done. I'm fed up.
You're the one who's fed up now.
So, but this two episodes get me into that feeling that either Echo or Crosshair are gonna go down.
Gotcha.
One of them is going to go down.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be Echo, because another thing that came across my mind is I can see Rex being part of the cavalry that shows up at the very end of this in the next episode, the finale. Then again, Echo didn't have a chance to send a signal or coordinates to Rex. So who knows? Maybe there won't be anyone to come and rescue them. But that's what I hope is going to happen. And I can see Echo dying in much the same way Fives did, which is Rex holding him as he's dying. So, and he'll be the last domino to fall of the domino squad. So
yeah. And if anything, he got a second chance. It's sort of like, you know, he was already gone in a way, and then he got a second chance. So he's the most prime suspect for dying in this case, you know?
Yeah.
But like,
I don't want it to happen, but I feel like that's where it's going. Yeah. And of course, you know, before stuff hits the fan in the next episode, I love when Echo said, "You really think we can trust this Hydro Snake?" And Rampart in the background said, "I can hear you." I love when shows and movies do things like that.
I like the fact that they took this nasty character.
He's funny, but I have not forgotten.
Yes, exactly. But the fact that they took this nasty character and they made him so hilarious in this episode.
He was definitely the comedic part.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Rampart, you know, they need him for an undercover mission to get the coordinates to Tantus. So, Mommy, you were right. In our last episode, you said that they need Rampart for an undercover for that going into the ranks, the Imperial ranks. So do you feel powerful right now?
To be honest, I forgot I said.
Of course.
I say things and I forget.
Of course. It's okay. But that is what you said. And then when I saw it happen, I thought, oh my God, Mommy was right. So yes, as we were saying, Rampart is hilarious. But at the same time, I have not forgotten what this dude has done in the past. So as a reminder, he tried to kill the Bad Batch during the bombardment of Kamino. He killed Wilco, the clone trooper who wanted to do the right thing by filing a report. And then he tried to assassinate Senator Chuchi. So I'm sure there are other things. I just don't remember them. But, you know, as funny as his moments are and have been in these past two episodes, he's still a person who's out for himself.
Yes.
Very much so. And he even said it to Crosshair. He said, "You're like me, loyal to no one but yourself." And after he spoke to the lieutenant in the space station, he said, "I've missed this." Like, how do you miss being cruel and having that kind of power?
He's the type that, and I had thought of this, he's that kind that it's not about politics, it's not about social justice, it's not about anything. It's just about himself.
Yeah, basically.
That's it.
Yeah, and honestly, at first I thought, okay, maybe Rampart is playing a role here so that he could change. But as these two episodes went along, I did not get that impression at all.
No.
At all.
No, he is not redeemable because he is only of himself.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, you know, last time we talked about how there had to be a reason why Crosshair missed placing the tracker on the ship in the episode Point of No Return. Because my initial argument, I said, you know, why did they have him miss? And why did they have to have the Bad Batch go through the route of having to find Rampart? And then you said maybe it's because Crosshair needs to come face to face with Rampart for his character development, for his journey. And so do you think that's still happening here, or was Rampart pulled into this more for Rampart's benefit than Crosshair's benefit? Like, will we see a change of heart when matters most? But because I don't really see it.
Well, the thing is that for this, the same reason that Rampart has this conversation with Crosshair, where he say, you know, telling him you're like me and things like that. This is also part of what Crosshair needs. He needs to cement his change.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not enough that you say I've changed. Which is why I
act behind
which
it.
Is why I find so curious when Ramper said had that moment. I'm sure you have, you know?
Yeah.
Because so much has happened and he has done so much. There has to be something that cements that thought that he's putting in his head, I've changed.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, what do you think Rampart meant by sure you have? Because a lot of people have been theorizing, like, oh man, does this mean that Crosshair is actually, like, the Winter Soldier? I don't know if you remember that movie, but in that movie there was, like, a set of codes or words that were said that would activate him. And and I know Elisa, my friend Elisa, came up with that theory. I was like, oh my God, that would be so cool. But at the same time, I don't know how it'll happen.
I see Rampart more like, you know, those images in cartoons where you have the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other.
Yeah.
Omega is the angel. Rampart is the devil.
Oh, okay. So, you know? Yes.
And he has those two sides battling in his head.
Gotcha.
Because he wants to think that he has changed because of Omega.
Mm-hmm.
But he has Rampart on the other shoulder whispering, really? Are you sure?
Yeah, I did get that
putting
feeling.
Putting the doubt.
Yeah.
You know?
I did get that feeling when they were walking through the forest, because it did seem like he was trying to convince Crosshair, coerce him into thinking, oh, you haven't really changed. You're like me.
Would it pan out this way? Who knows? But it's interesting to look at those things and say, okay.
Yeah.
You know, that little angel devil thing going on there.
Yeah, that's true. And it's also interesting how both Hunter and Crosshair had to remind Rampart that the Empire screwed him over.
Yeah.
Because you have Hunter who told them, the Empire betrayed and imprisoned you. We broke you out. Remember that before you try and betray us. And then Crosshair said, the Empire betrayed us both. So I really do wonder, where is this ultimately going? And if he's going to surprise us, or if he's going to be exactly who he says he is.
I don't know. Like, if they pull a redemption from Rampart's side at this point, it's going to be disappointing, because I need a bad guy to stay the bad guy.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I'm saying?
Me too,
and,
man.
and Rampart is a bad guy. He is selfish. He is egotistical. He's a narcissistic, self-centered, the worst kind possible, because he's not about principles. It's not like I want order.
Right, like Callus.
Or Callus, exactly. Yeah. No, it's about himself.
Yeah.
What can I get for me?
Yes.
And these moments where Hunter and Crosshair remind him that the Empire betray him, to Rampart means nothing. Because, yes, they betray him, but he wasn't a saint either. It wasn't like he was being loyal for the sake of being loyal.
That's,
you know what
good
I'm saying?
Point. Yeah.
So he can, and he said it, I didn't go up the ranks because of my good looks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He knows how to manipulate his position.
Yeah.
So being that the Empire betrayed him, that does absolutely nothing. If anything, it helps him the next time he tries, because he's not going to know exactly who he's working against in order to go back up.
Yeah.
Because he likes it.
Yeah. He said it. I've missed this. Yeah. The guy's not good.
No.
As hilarious as his screaming is.
Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you, I was cracking up all by my lonesome.
And I might have missed this, but why do you think the penultimate episode is called Flash Strike? Because I thought Flash Strike was a strike that happened without advance notice to your employer. Like, you go on strike without letting your employer know, hey, I'm going on strike. You just do it. I'm thinking it might refer to Emery, because she's willing to help Echo essentially, you know, quote unquote, quitting her job.
Yeah, I don't think that she finds her job necessarily bad, but the fact that she's doing all these things with these children and the way that they're being treated, sort of like it doesn't sit well with her.
Right. No, yeah, that's exactly
because,
what's happening.
Because we can go back to the fact that, when she mentioned that, and she was so angry because she said to Nala, said, you know, like, you're going to discard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like you did me.
Like you did me. So she's like, no, these kids, I need to help these kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and she uses, first of all, I really love that Emery and Echo meet. Like, what a brilliant moment. Did not see that coming. I thought that was super cool. And the fact that she recognized them, too, based on Omega's description and the way that she talked about the Bad Batch. So she uses the classic, I was doing my job defense, which is the equivalent to I was following orders. And I think in Emery's case, she's aware of what happens to people when they don't follow orders. You know, it doesn't excuse what she's been doing and her actions, but it explains them, I think, in a way. It reminds me of that episode in season one, way back, called Replacements, with Crosshair and the new recruits. So one of the soldiers said, these are civilians. You know, they had these civilians rounded up and they were going to kill them. And one of them said, stop, this is not right. But Crosshair said, those aren't our orders. And then the soldier replied, forget the orders. This is wrong. And so what happened after he said that? He was killed.
Yeah.
And so the other three soldiers complied because otherwise they would also be killed. And I think Emery's seen enough to know that that's what happens to traitors. So she does her job and she does what she's told. And sadly, that happens to a lot of people. I mean, we all like to think and say, oh, not me. I'm going to stand up for what's right. I'm sure a lot of us would do that, but a lot more people would be scared and would comply under the threat of death, especially. And again, it doesn't excuse what Emery is doing and people like her, but it might be one of the explanations. And someone like Dr. Scholder, she's evil. She loves what she does.
And this is the thing that you have to understand. Emery's also isolated.
Yes, she's isolated.
She's on her own. Yeah. So it's also difficult for somebody who finds themselves surrounded by people who doesn't think like her to voice her opinion freely and willingly, you know, like, because she knows that the 10 people around her think the opposite and they're just gonna turn on her.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. When she saw Echo, I think, to me, she saw that as the opportunity. Like, yes, this is it. This is my chance to do something because she's just one person. She does not have anyone else besides Omega, who is locked up. She can't do anything. There's only so much one person can do. So I think she saw this as her moment to act. And I like that she made that choice right then and there, which is really, I guess, what you can, you know, call a flash strike. Like, this is something that we got to do now. And she couldn't do it before because, again, she's just one person who could easily have been taken down had she made some sort of an attempt. So, yeah, I really like that moment between her and Echo. And I love that Echo was very motherly in the way that he expressed disappointment.
You're like, a clone. It's like,
how can
come
you
on.
Be part of this? Yeah.
You're my daughter. How can you do something like that?
Yeah. It was so motherly of him. And that's Echo. I mean, Echo's been like that since the beginning of the series. Very mother, and then Hunter's the father. So, you know, ultimately, Omega tells the kids, I have a plan. I'm gonna need your help. And one of the things I told you when we were rewatching the episodes was, I wonder if her plan is going to hinder or help the Bad Batch. So here's hoping whatever chaos ensues will work in their favor.
Yeah. But then she cannot just, that's the thing. She cannot just sit and let it fall on her brothers. When they started feeling the bombardment, mm-hmm. that expression in her face, and my brothers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she was so happy.
But then again, I cannot just leave it all to my brothers.
Yeah.
Exactly. I need to get out of here. The thing is, where she is, there is no freaking way them three can get there. Mm-hmm. She needs to get out of that vault.
Yeah, with the kids in order for them to be able to access them a little bit better in accessibility.
Because even with Emery helping, there's a whole bunch of other people in there. You know what I'm saying?
There's like at least 10 different clone troopers, not even the standard stormtroopers that are currently being added into the ranks. These are clones, the better ones.
the ones that are totally programmed.
Like, yeah, reprogrammed. And that's another thing. We haven't even seen the CX soldiers. Where are they? Next week is going to be crazy. And I'm hoping it's going to be at least 45 minutes. I really don't want it to be less than that. But I will also laugh if it is less than that. Because I feel like there's a lot to wrap up. But at the same time, I'll find it hilarious if it's just like a regular standard 22 minutes. Like, okay.
Is that just the final one?
It's the final episode. Next week is the final episode. Yeah.
So that's it?
That's it. Yeah.
One more. What the
Ma, you've been operating thinking that we've had more episodes after this. Next week is the last episode.
I'm just going to say capital W, capital T, capital F.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, next week is the last episode.
Okay.
Yeah, it's true. Congratulations, you now know. So Omega finds the Zilla Beast during that second exploration. And obviously, that's going to wreak havoc in the finale. And the finale is called The Cavalry Has Arrived. And maybe the chaos that ensues will cause a system-wide shutdown, and that would cause the laser cannons to stop working. Because I think that's the part that's going to make it difficult for them to try and escape. They can find each other, find a ship, but if those laser cannons are still active, they're not going to be able to get out. So is there anything else you would like to see happen in the finale?
Yeah, for it not to be the finale yet, because there's too much.
There's too much, mommy. There's too much that needs to be wrapped up.
Yeah,
that's a lot. I feel like there is. Honestly, I think it's just going to be the core group. I know a lot of people think, oh, but what about Cody? What about Rex? What about Ventress? They're just people that come and go. I think the core group is going to be the main focus. So
this is my thing. I understand that we still have 19 years to go to the future or whatever happens. Nothing is going to stop the Empire right now.
No.
I get it.
Yeah.
I understand that. But you have this whole season all around this experiments taking place with these clones.
Right.
You have this conversation happening where we have to save these clones, and the clones are not gonna be saved.
You know, I meant to include the clones as well when I said core group.
Okay,
I think clones will also be saved.
You said core group and I think Bad Batch. That's it.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I do think that that's also going to happen, especially for Echo. For Echo's sake, like, I think that needs to happen.
Cause
yeah.
This is the thing, like, we know 19 years still have to come through, and we know it doesn't stop, because we know it doesn't stop, but we do know that because of the length of time, something had to happen to disrupt it.
Oh, I see.
So I'm thinking this is the disruption.
Yes. Okay.
Before the whole thing can start all over again later. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
So.
I gotcha.
So.
In terms of experiments.
Yeah. So I know that. I know Freedom is not going to come to the whole universe.
Galaxy.
But Tantus needs to be liberated completely.
I gotcha. No, for sure. I think that will happen. Yeah. So, yeah, we will see.
22 minutes.
Well, I don't know. That's the standard time for these episodes, or the average time, I should say. But we will see. We will see. So something else I would love to see is the kids using the Force.
Yes.
That was me. I'm like using my hand, trying to pretend to use the Force. Something.
And the sound.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Sound effects. you get top sound effects in this podcast.
I don't know how else to convey it. I guess. But
top of the line.
Yeah. Yes,
best
truly.
Money can buy.
but and then something you said while watching the episodes was, we need Jedi out there and these kids are it. They're the future of the Force. And I love that. I love that the fact that these are essentially the future. You know, another thing to think about is that they're still targets. And then I don't think the Empire will stop hunting them down. So it would be really cool. And I don't think it's going to happen, but I really wish it would. If Ventress could show up. Because I like to think that she is involved somehow in protecting Force-sensitive people, bringing them to safety through the path or whatever it's called. So, I would love that. But that's just me. And you know, the title, The Cavalry Has Arrived, is a reference to the first thing that Wrecker said, the very, very first thing in the Bad Batch arc. They come out of that. They're the Havoc Marauder, and then you hear Wrecker go, the cavalry has arrived.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I don't know who the cavalry is. Is it the Bad Batch, or is it more than that? Is it Rex, or is it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. And I'm excited to find out. It's days away, mommy. But a few other notes. It was really cool to see, I think it was called Boravio, like that cloudy planet that they were on. That's where Fennec and Cad Bane faced off, and where Omega tried to escape. And I love that Rampart said, I can't wear this. It's a captain's uniform. I was vice admiral.
You got demoted, man.
I it was hilarious. He's like, I can't wear this. Because it has a captain's rank insignia on it. And then I love that Wrecker was wearing that little Imperial
hat. Yeah.
It looks so small on him.
Yep.
It was so funny. And I love how Hunter, when they're flying the ship, or at least trying to, because they got hit once they reached Tantus, and then they're falling, and then he turns the ship around. Right. And then shoots at, I thought that was the sexiest thing ever.
I'm telling you, it's like they're not taking time to think. It's like, I'm not thinking. This is what I'm doing.
I'm acting.
If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But this is it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
You know what was funny about that is that I feel like Hunter couldn't show Omega how to fly because Tech was like, no, you're crazy. You're a crazy driver. I need to show her how to fly.
She has a trade.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I said, she has a little bit of all of them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's so funny to think about. Oh, and we talked about Rampart screaming, how that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
It was so funny. And I would love to see footage of the voice actor just screaming his head off.
Until he landed the right one.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, it reminds me of your brother. Every single time these people like Grandpa scream like that, all I can hear is your brother.
Yeah.
Because he has that weekly scream.
Yeah. It is funny to hear. And then sometimes he does it for fun, but other times it really does come out that way.
Yeah.
And I did find the whole circles thing. I don't know if you noticed, but Omega had done the little circle with the children's toy to represent Tantus. And then later there's like a shot of Tantus from above, which was a really cool shot. And I just, I don't really know what it means symbolically. I didn't have time to look up the meaning of circles, but I do love the idea that things are not coming full circle, sort of a thing. So we will see what happens. But, the fact that CX2 didn't show up, I'm sorry, people, but I don't think Tech is going to be showing up in the final episode. It would be crazy if he does. That would be wild. And very unexpected, because I've been looking at things objectively for the past half season, and I didn't really see Tech, but a lot of people like to, you know, dive in and read into it, but we will see.
Yeah.
I keep saying that. We will see. We will see. Count how many times I've said it in this episode. But that's it. I think that's pretty much it. Was there anything else that I'm sure I missed something. It's just, you know, I always want to like grab the big parts of the episodes.
The episode was big. It was like everything was big and important.
Yeah. Yeah. And
which is, I cannot believe next one is the last one.
Next one.
Are they pulling a prank on us? Like,
I know. I'm thinking it is going to be a longer episode just because I think there's one. I don't remember the exact count of episodes in this season, but I think there's one less than usual. And I think that might mean that this next one might be a little bit longer, but I'm just guessing.
Oh, well, until next time, may the force be with you.
Oh, wait. I mean, that was so unenthusiastic. Let's do that again. So that's it for today's episode.
Until next time.
You're cutting me off. So I have a whole script here, mommy. That's it for today's episode. In our next episode, we'll be discussing the final episode of Star Wars The Bad Batch. The cavalry has arrived.
Until next time, may the force be with you.
I think that was a too enthusiastic, but I'm not going to ask you to do that again. But always.